Blog Talk Radio.
Soft voice of Al Jarreau. Little bit's too slow for me, but it is romantic, and it's Friday night, and you're dancing alone. What can I tell you? Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Of course, there's a lot of ladies out there tonight that wish they were dancing with Mr. Zuckerberg, who went to work this morning. He wasn't worth what he's worth this evening. He's now worth $18 billion, and they say his stock is at $38.23. And if it goes, for every dollar it goes up, he makes another billion. Oh, I could only have just a small petty cash account. Honey, go out and take a billion and buy yourself something. Pretty yourself up. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party. So where are we here today? Today I had to lose the battle to win a war. It has to do with the shortage on a delivery that wasn't short, but I couldn't win the argument, so I had to concede. I had to concede. You know how that's like? You know what that's like? You know you're right, but you know that to insist that you're right is going to cost you business, and you can't do it. So you bite your tongue and you go home and you beat the wife. President Obama in history. Oh, I did that one already. Made in the USA. Let's see what made in the USA. Oh, yeah. Okay, I asked somebody if their product was made in the USA, and they said they were. And then they closed the factory 10 minutes later. I'm only kidding, but... NATO troops dying in bigger numbers in Afghanistan. Well, let's see what that's all about. Another 5 NATO troops were killed yesterday in Afghanistan. And then the announcer whispers they were all Americans. No shit, Dick Tracy. Obama changed the status of American troops in Afghanistan his first day in bogus office. He put them in a subclass called NATO troops. Since Obama falsely took office, the body count of NATO troops, NATO, is over 2,000 for 3.5 years. Under Bush's fault, the total was 461 in 8 years. This from a president who is running war games with the Russians in Colorado. You don't know about that. You'll hear about it. There'll be a by the way in at NBC. Oh, by the way, the Russians are in Colorado. Yeah, so anybody covering that story? Well, put your hands up. Tell Putin I can betray more once the rigged election results name me. Putin can't stand to look at Obama. He treats Obama like Obama treats Netanyahu. Today, the murderer of anybody that's Jewish that thinks this president is looking out for them, you know what? Pull all the shades down in your house and never look at the sky again. Today, the murderer of 5 American troops, who is from Lebanon, a Hezbollah marine killer dressed in Afghan army uniforms, entered a secure American compound and killed a captain, took 4 Americans prisoner, tortured and shot them. This murderer got an Eric Holder pass. He was turned over to the Iraqis, who immediately freed him and decorated him. This guy needs a bin Laden visit. All the more reason to be sure when you meet them on the battlefield, you leave them on the battlefield. And it's time to bring back the flamethrowers. The only rights to read are yours to survive. You have to ask yourself, how could 4 Americans on their post allow themselves to be taken prisoner? You never turn your back on a non-American. You have enough trouble turning your back on Americans. There always has to be one gun trained on visitors. Just don't be obvious about it. You know, you switch off. You put the gun on them, and then I'll put the gun on. The only reason I can figure is they were unarmed, and that's a broken rule number one. Never be without your weapon and keep it dry in the shower. I have seen chow hall photos of 50 Americans lined up for food. Only 2 had weapons. What? No war zone? And it turned out after seeing that photo, 2 Afghanis showed up for lunch in Afghan uniforms and killed GIs at the dining room tables. How about this headline that disappeared overnight? Chopper crash, 22 Navy SEALs from Team 6 killed, plus 8 others. It was in the press one day and then vanished. But we got to see Rambama movies for weeks on end. I got Bin Laden. Where is the sequel? Who's going to play Hillary Clinton? Alec Baldwin? I lost a SEAL Team 6. They were not Americans. They were NATO troops. The next time you hear some pressling announcing the death count of the NATO troops, call the network and ask them if they can say American. NATO troops is only to hide the losses. Everybody thinks the bodies are going to Holland. 6 months is all the time we have left to save our country from the King of Kenya. Before we get rid of him, be sure to get all his subjects that he intends to leave behind to continue the takedown of America. It is time to raise the cross of freedom. Sing the SSB. Say the pledge and get rid of the termites. All hail the great spirit of America. www.mediacrapmatters.us and www.spiritofamericaapartyradioshow.com. If you got the chance to be president of the USA, would you take it? Obama, the Harvard lawyer, knew the constitutional requirements for the presidency, and it called for an American-born citizen. I am sure he told his handlers that fact. His handlers probably told him, "Let us worry about that. You just do your Al Green impression." I'm not threatened by Obama. He's front and center stage. We see what he does and when he whispers to his Russian comrades. But all who knew he was Kenyan and enabled him to take an office illegally must be brought out in the open and face trial for treason. They are the threat to American freedom. They have planned to destroy the USA and shred the Constitution. The Democamos must not be allowed to operate unappointed. If there are senators involved, they must be removed from office. And I heard Sean Hannity praising his defense of Orrin Hatch. Sorry, Sean. Orrin Hatch is no match for Chuck Schumer. We need a tiger to fight a tiger. And now Obama must resign because he's not qualified to make those appointments. He cannot be put on the ballot in any state for president. The Democamos must pick another candidate who did not know Obama was a Kenyan. And that may be hard to do. And anyone who knew Obama was not qualified must do time as an accomplice to treason. The next move will be to force the literary publicist to say he made a mistake, and that just came out today. He came out today, he said he made a mistake. He may even get a Breitbart heart attack or arsenic poisoning. Since Obama has been in office, 2,000 Americans classified as NATO troops have arrived back home from Afghanistan in flag-draped coffins, the same flag that 48 senators voted to burn 40 days before 9/11, SJR-7. This illegal alien president is responsible for those deaths as pretender commander-in-chief. Add to that the loss of SEAL Team 6, 22 men plus 8 military, who might as well be SEALs also. It's 30 SEALs as far as I'm concerned. This tragic mistake was buried in the Democamo press before the bodies arrived home for burial. It was one night of news described as a chopper crash. If an Afghan soldier can shoot an American soldier in the back, they can also call ahead to ambush Ali and say, "Heads up, the SEALs are coming." If the press can cover up this ambush to protect the Hollywood hero Rambama, who killed bin Laden, can they also cover up the fact that he's not an American? I think he knew all along he was born in Kenya. He just went along for the ride, play some golf, play some people, read some good speeches, enjoy the vacations and free lunches, walk into the Oval Office with $3 million, bump it up to $5 million, the gravy train, ride the gravy train, maybe leave with $10 million plus whatever Simon and Schuster advance for his new book. Then go on the speech tours to the Middle East countries like Clinton did. And of course, don't forget to build the library. The proof that Obama is not an American lies up in Harvard. And that is why his records are sealed. Harvard is complacent in treason. And if my hunch is right, that leads me to believe Obama was the emir of the USA, and that plan was hatched in Harvard. 1991 must be a very interesting year. Who we hung around with, who picked up his tab, who bought his smokes. To sum it up, we have an experiment in the media-inspired coup d'etat minus machine gun fire. How many years in production? How many Democamos involved? 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000? How many countries involved? Why did Bashar al-Assad get a Rwanda killing fields pass, yet Muammar Gaddafi got a broomstick up his you-know-what? He was no threat. He gave up his nukes, but every IED that gave us a flag-draped coffin and burned-faced heroes without legs came from Syria. with a new improved Iranian copper lugs. Want to see three demo combos endorsing Bashar al-Assad? Go to MediaCrapMatters.us, www.MediaCrapMatters.us, and see who's sitting in the Ottoman, around the Ottoman, with Bashar. All demo combos. And that's why they all have to be ejected. We have to, no more terms for termites. No more terms for termites. So hang in there, we'll find your tune. We got 14 minutes left. Oh, the time flies, doesn't it? Oh, we got America the Beautiful. You want to hear that one? Or should we find something wild? We've been making you mellow here. Yeah, we'll do a Brazilian soft shoe. Oh, here's one. Here's one. They announced 30,000 Hewlett Packard employees are going to be laid off.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line, just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick, mortar, and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Hey, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al, Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, and I made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Hey, brother, ain't got a dime about you, have you? And once I built a tower, yes, a tower to the sun, of brick, mortar, and lime. Yes, I'm the fella built a tower, and now it's done. Hey, buddy, ain't got a dime about you, have you? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember? Don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al, Al all the time. Don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Many men will cut this way. Many men will cut the hour. Hiya, boys and girls, it's Captain Boycott. I found this on the internet and I thought I'd share it with you. And then I'll tell you who wrote it. Twice in my lifetime, America, the arsenal of democracy, has come from behind to ensure victory. It is not evident that should another war arise, those producing it will make every effort to see that the arsenal of democracy is knocked out in the first round. How this can be done, I do not know. But I do know that the progress made in airplanes and self-propelled missiles is such that the possibility of an early knockout cannot be discounted. Perhaps a good illustration of what I am trying to put across to you is this. When I went to school, and I presume that is the same now, all of the children were taught how to form in column and march out of the building in an orderly manner in case of fire. This instruction did not, so far as I know, produce fires, but when fire occurred, the lives of the majority of children were saved. If we go to the extreme of saying that preparedness produces wars, then the instruction in fire drills would produce fires. Therefore, we should not teach children that a fire may come, that the building may burn, and as a result of such teaching, have the sad duty of removing the charred little bodies from the ruined schoolhouse. You men are all American citizens, and in your generation, you will have a very large voice in determining the election of our public servants and the enforcement of our laws. I am sure that you have found out that discipline, self-reliance, mutual respect, and faith are necessary in the Army. Those traits are just as necessary in civilian life. Laws which are not enforced had better not be promulgated. Referring again to the fire department aspect of the prevention of war, a very large proportion of the duties of the fire departments in large cities is not the extinguishing of fires, but their prevention through advice and supervision. You men are all potential firemen. You have put out the fire by your heroic efforts. It is now your duty as citizens to see that other fires do not occur, and that you and your children are not again called upon to extinguish them. I have been speaking to you not as your commanding general, but rather as an old man to young men. I am in no way trying to propagandize you, but as I said before, it is my considered opinion that my duty demands that I should explain to you things as I see them. Let me say that it is my profound hope that we shall never again be engaged in war, but also let me remind you of the words attributed to George Washington. In time of peace, prepare for war. That advice is still good. I am firmly convinced that we must have universal training, because the one hope for a peaceful world is a powerful America, with the adequate means of instantly checking aggressors. Unless we are so armed and prepared, the next war will probably destroy us. No one who has lived in a destroyed country can view such a possibility with anything except horror. Man is war, war is conflict. Fighting is an elemental exposition of the age-old effort to survive. If we again believe that wars are over, we will surely have another, and damned quick. We had better look out for ourselves and make the rest of the world look out for themselves. If we attempt to feed the world, we will starve and perhaps destroy America. Roman civilization fell due to the loss of the will to conquer, satisfaction with the status quo and high taxes, which destroyed trade and private enterprise. These conditions eventually forced people out of the cities. The cycle is returning. It is very easy for ignorant people to think that success in war may be gained by the use of some wonderful invention like the atomic bomb, rather than by hard fighting and superior leadership. There are a host of people who have to squat to piss, who will say that this will be the last war, and that from now on, we will only need world clubs. They are the ones who will be responsible for the deaths of millions of people. The pacifists are always at it. I met a visiting fireman of supposedly great eminence who told me that this was to be the last war. I told him that statements since 2600 BC had signed such statements. Since 2600 BC had signed the death warrants of millions of young men. He replied with the stock lie, "Oh, but things are different now. My God, will they never learn?" There are all kinds of low-class slime who are trying and will continue to try to wreck this country from the inside. Most of them don't know it, but they're actually working for the Russians. Some of them do know it, though, and it doesn't matter whether they call themselves communists, socialists, or just plain foolish liberals. They are destroying this country. Politicians are the lowest form of life on earth. Liberal Democrats are the lowest form of politicians. I really shudder for the future of our country. Someone must not only win the war, but also the peace. I believe that Germany should not be destroyed, but rather should be rebuilt as a buffer against the real danger, which is Russia and its Bolshevism. The difficulty in understanding the Russian is that we do not take cognizance of the fact that he is not a European, but an Asiatic, and therefore thinks deviously. We can no more understand a Russian than a Chinese or a Japanese, and from what I have seen of them, I have no particular desire to understand them, except to ascertain how much lead or iron it takes to kill them. In addition to his other amiable characteristics, the Russian has no regard for human life, and they are all out sons of bitches, barbarians, and chronic drunks. Russia knows what she wants, world domination, and she is laying her plans accordingly. We, on the other hand, in England and France, to a lesser extent, don't know what we want. We get less than nothing as a result. If we have to fight them, now is the time. From now on, we will get weaker and they will get stronger. Let's keep our boots polished, bayonets sharpened, and present a picture of force and strength to the Russians. This is the only language that they understand and respect. If we fail to do this, then I would like to say we have had victory over the Germans and have disarmed them, but we have lost the war. The one thing that I could not say and cannot yet say publicly is that my chief interest in establishing order in Germany was to prevent Germany from going communist. I am afraid that our foolish and utterly stupid policy in regard to Germany will certainly cause them to join the Russians and thereby ensure a communistic state throughout Western Europe. We have destroyed what could have been a good race of people, and we are about to replace them with Mongolian savages and all of Europe with communism. Poland is under Russian domination, so is Hungary, so is Czechoslovakia, and so is Yugoslavia, and we sit happily by and think that everybody loves us. It seems to me that Russia has a certain sphere of influence in Korea, Manchuria, and Mongolia. We promised the Europeans freedom. It would be worse than dishonorable not to see that they have it. And that's where I finished up. But you know what? You listen to what Patton says, and the enemy is only slightly different. And the day will come when the draft will have to come back if we have time to assemble. And I do believe his philosophy is right about the next great hit. And I think that when you look at 911, that was only two planes and that was only two buildings in one city. And God help us if that's 1,000 planes and 1,000 buildings and 100 cities. And anybody who thinks that they're immune because they don't live in New York City is also being very foolish. Talk to you, boys and girls.
That's our show, folks. We'll head out with a song called The Gypsy.
In a quaint caravan, there's a lady they call the Gypsy. She can look in the future and drive away all your fears. Everything will come right if you only believe the Gypsy. She can tell at a glance that my heart was so full of tears. She looked at my hand and told me my lover was always true. And yet in my heart I knew, dear, somebody else was kissing you. But I'll go there again, 'cause I want to believe the Gypsy. That my lover is true and will come back. Someday.